Praise the Lord. I'd like you to turn in your assignments. Oh, yes? Has to be gotten in today. Today is the day. If you forgot it, and that oh no was a cry of mercy unto God's holy hill. Thank you. And it's at home. Put it in my box this afternoon. Okay? Thank you. Ah, here's a good one. I will praise his word. Jesus Christ, to whom be praise, dominion. The word of the Lord is tried. Jesus Christ is a tried stone. Good one. Good one. Taste of the good word of God. Taste that the Lord is gracious. The word, they stumble at the word. Jesus Christ, the stone of stumbling. The word shall judge you. Jesus, God, the judge of all. Good ones. The law is perfect. The Son was made perfect. Scriptures are holy. Jesus is holy. Jesus is a counselor. The word of God is our counsel. It's a little bit too poetic to read. Okay. Okay. Good ones. The ways of the Lord is right. The word is right. The word is pure. The Lord is pure. Of course, now, some of these, it's not, you're not really getting the living word. The living word is Jesus Christ, not God. The living word is Jesus Christ, not is God in the flesh. So in essence, that's God. But I was looking for more particularly with Jesus Christ, so forth. Okay. Truth. The word of God shall stand forever and not pass away. Jesus Christ, same forever. That's a good one. That's a good one. That's a good one. Yeah. The word, thy word was my joy, unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Jesus said that my joy might be remain in you, and that your joy might be full. See, my joy remain in you. My joy. The word was a joy unto me. My joy. That's a good one. That's a good one. Okay, these are all, if you don't know or whatever, this is... Are there any here that are in the class for the first time today? You know, that have signed up. Anybody? Okay. When I pass around the roll book, if you are, make sure you don't put your name in there. Just let me know after class. Come up to me after class, okay? Because I want to have it written in there in the same writing, handwriting that's been there before. Thank you. Did you kind of get the feeling, I hope, of how Jesus Christ is the Word, made flesh? It's one and the same, only it's made flesh. So instead of reading it off the page, we can hear Him, we can see Him, we can touch Him. Like it says in 1 John, we can handle Him and investigate Him. All right, now we began last week, we were right at the cutoff point of talking about types as related to messianic prophecies. Now this is a very broad subject. And types are not explicit statements of prophecy, but they are figures. And then I explained to you what a type is. A type is an impression left by the actual object itself. The actual object is Jesus Christ. The impression left on the Old Testament is a type. We see it in people, we see it in places, we see it in names, we see it in all sorts of things. And I gave to you some scriptures on how this word type is in the New Testament. We saw it in the Romans 5:14, we saw it in 1 Corinthians 10, 6 and 11, and then I believe I was just about to give to you Hebrews 5 and verse 8, right? Mm-hmm. Hebrews 5 and verse 8. What? Hebrews 5 and verse 8. How did I do that now? Maybe I meant Hebrews 8 and verse 5. It's pattern. I'm looking for the word pattern.
Yeah, it's 8:5.
Yeah. Well, praise the Lord. I guess we're not all perfect. Huh? Yeah, it's 8:5. It's easy to make a mistake when there's so many figures and whatnot. Okay. 8:5. Who serve, now talking about the priest, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle, for, see, said he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. That word pattern is the word type. Tupos in the Greek. Type. So he saw the type in the mount, and he was to make it according to the pattern. See, the type that he saw in the mount. And so the type was the impression left by God, and then he built the type, and the thing itself was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ in every aspect. Now, I'd like to quickly run through some of the men of the Old Testament and how they are types of the Messiah, and how these lives that they had are prophetic of the Lord Jesus Christ. Adam was the first man. Christ is the first new man. Adam was the son of God. Christ is the son of God. In fact, he's the son of God in two ways. He's the son of God by the fact of being born of God directly, but he's also the son of God by a fact of lineage. And in Luke chapter 3 and verse 38, we see the end result of a lineage followed in Luke, where it takes the lineage of Christ all the way back, and you know what it does? It says, who was the son of Seth, who was the son of Adam, who was the son of God. And therefore, Jesus, even through lineage, was the son of God. Adam was made in the image of God. Jesus Christ was the perfect image of God. An image relates to his standing, his authority, his position as far as being the head of the human race and the head of all created beings on the earth, taking dominion over them. We see that Adam was given dominion over all created things, so also Christ. We see that Adam was tempted by Satan himself, so also Christ. We see that Adam was incomplete without Eve, so also Christ. Mm-hmm. Incomplete without the church, his body. Let me ask you, if nobody was able to witness, nobody was able to be filled with the Holy Ghost after the Lord Jesus Christ came, what would he have accomplished? He needs his church, us, to be representations of him. Hallelujah! This world, praise God. We see that Adam gave names to the creatures under his dominion. We are creatures under the dominion of Christ, and he gives us a new name. Mm-hmm. We see that Adam's deep sleep produced Eve. It was when he was in deep sleep. And we see that it was Christ's deep sleep of death that produced the church. It was through his death. Out of that death came a rib, as it were, life through the resurrection that produced the church. Eve was a part of Adam's body. So also the church is a part of Christ. Adam and Eve were one flesh. So also Christ and the church become one flesh. All you have to do is just put down one side of the type normally, and you get it. That'll help you a little bit there. I look out there and I see a little puff of smoke arising from your burning pen that are spinning across the paper. Adam was not deceived, but he partook of Eve's judgment out of love for her. And that's demanded by a lot of parallel passages, if that's the truth. And it may not come out and say it in those words in Genesis, but parallel passages in other scripture point out that this is the truth. And so also, Christ partook. He was not deceived, but he partook of our judgment because he loved us. Praise God. We see that Adam was driven out of God's presence because of sin. Christ was driven out of God's presence because of sin. He became sin. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And so Adam is a type of Christ. Let's look at Abel now. So son of Adam and Eve. Abel was a keeper of sheep. You know, Jesus is our great shepherd. We are his sheep. Hallelujah. Abel offered an acceptable sacrifice. A sweet-smelling savor, might I say. Do you know that Jesus Christ offered an acceptable sacrifice? What was that sacrifice? Himself. And we read about it in Ephesians 5:2. He was a sweet-smelling savor unto God. Abel was slain by an angry brother who was jealous. Christ was slain by angry brethren. They were of the same race, Jews. Therefore, they were brethren. He was slain by them, the Jewish leaders. They were jealous of him. Did you know that? It says, you go through all of what Christ went through, and then right at the last chapter of Matthew, it says, they delivered him up for envy. And it shows you the whole time they were so upset at Jesus because they wanted to do what he did. They wish they had the same power Christ had. They were envious. Isn't that something? Abel's blood cried out against Cain for a vengeance. And Christ's blood cries out against sinners who reject him for justice, for vengeance. On those who reject him. His blood cries because in the last day, the blood is going to be the one to choose who gets passed over and who doesn't. It's like at the Passover, it was the blood that chose who was passed over and who wasn't. Who got judgment and who didn't. And so it will be at the last day. We see that Abel's slayer was driven from God's presence. And so also, Israel was driven from God's presence. It was cast out. 70 AD, the nation was destroyed and taken captive by the Roman army. Wiped out, scattered to the four winds. And so Abel stands as a type of the Lord's Jesus. Okay, let's look at Seth. Seth was another son of Adam and Eve. His name means compensation. He was given by God as a compensation for Abel's death. And so also Christ was given as a compensation. Compensation for what? For his death. He was resurrected to compensate for his death. So Jesus Christ was also compensation. We see that Seth was in the likeness and image of his father. Not only image, but also likeness. Cain was not in the likeness of his father. He was in the image. See, the image is what you are created with, that bearing that you have. You can lose partially your image if you become like an animal in your attitude and in your soul. But the likeness is that inner comparison, heart, your will, your love, the unity of mind. Cain did not have the likeness of Adam. Seth did. He was given in compensation. And he had the likeness of Adam. He was closer to him. And so also Christ. Not only was in the image of his father, but also the likeness. He was also in the likeness. He had the same heart attitude. Let's look at the seventh from Adam. His name is Enoch. Let's look at him. We'll see Jesus Christ again. Enoch walked with God. Jesus Christ walked with God. Enoch was translated. God took him. God took Christ. He took him unto himself, sat him on the right hand of the throne. Enoch pleased God. Christ pleased God. I don't know how many times in his ministry the Father said, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." On the Mount of Transfiguration, and at his baptism, and I believe also in the temple once. And so there's at least three times. We see that Enoch was the seventh from Adam. And seven is a type of perfection. And therefore, in the type, Enoch would have been the perfection of Adam. He would have been the completion and the perfection of what God was to create in Adam. And Enoch was perfect, wasn't he? So much so that God took him. And so also Jesus Christ is the perfection of Adam. God made Adam. He created him to have communion with him. He fell. But the perfection of what God purposed to make in Adam was realized in Christ. And so Christ is the perfection of Adam. Enoch was prophesied. He prophesied of Christ's return and of judgment. You read about it in Jude 14. So also Christ prophesied of his second coming and of judgment. The judgment that he would inflict on the nations. So again we have Enoch as a type of Christ. He fulfilled Christ. We see a picture of what Christ would do in Enoch. Let's look at Noah. Now, the name of Noah means rest. Jesus gives rest. Noah delivered his sons from judgment. Jesus Christ delivers us, the sons of God, from judgment by his blood. We become his sons. Noah was perfect in his generation. Jesus Christ was perfect in his generation. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. As we see in 1 Peter, Jesus Christ was a preacher of righteousness. Noah saw the whole world judged. He saw the entire world judged. Jesus Christ will see the entire world judged. Second coming. Let's look at Abraham now. A few hundred years after Noah. Now Abraham is a type of Christ. Yes, he is. He is more so a type of God the Father. And the reason why is because he initially received the promise, and then it was through his son that the promise continued. He was the beginning. It was in his seed. Well, that fits especially well with God the Father and then his son Isaac, see, as Christ. So Isaac is even more clearly a type of Christ. But Abraham is also a type of Christ in a few ways. First of all, in him all families of the earth are blessed. And in Christ all families of the earth are blessed. We also see that Abraham was the father of faith and he believed God. And Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. He's the father of faith. He's the author of faith. Believe God. Abraham was rich, yet he was a pilgrim on earth. And so also Christ was rich, but he made himself a pilgrim. Became poor for our sake, that we might be made rich. Abraham was promised a godly inheritance. Jesus Christ was promised a godly inheritance. Hallelujah. Inherit all things. Alright, and then a man who lived at the time of Abraham was Melchizedek. He's a type of Christ. We see Jesus Christ in him. Melchizedek's name means King of Righteousness. And Jesus Christ is the King of Righteousness. Now and forever. Hallelujah. And in the millennium especially. Melchizedek was a priest with special ordination. We don't read about it. It's a special ordination. And by God. And so also Christ had a special ordination like no other man. From God himself. Melchizedek has no clear earthly origin. We don't know about it. Jesus had no clear earthly origin. We know about it, but it wasn't clear. People didn't know. Melchizedek ruled over Jerusalem. He was the king of Salem. Jesus Christ will rule over Jerusalem, the church, the body of Christ in Mount Zion. Now let's look at Isaac. Oh, and by the way, I guess I could give another one. Melchizedek received a tenth, a tithe. And so also Christ receives the tithe. He receives what we owe him. What we owe to God is given to the Lord Jesus Christ because he is a representation of God. And so we give our tithe, as it were, that which belongs to God unto him. It's a show of total devotion to Him. See, where your tithe goes is where you're devoted. See? And so we devote ourselves to Him, offering Him a tithe. Let's look at Isaac now for a little bit. Isaac, the son of Abraham. He is also a type of Christ in many, many ways. You know, when you get done with this, there's nowhere in the scripture you can't look but you see Jesus. He's just everywhere. Just everywhere. That's why to those who have the blindfolds on, it's really a shame because there's so much in there of the Lord Jesus. Isaac, he was a promised seed. And we see that Jesus Christ was a promised seed. He's been promised ever since the beginning. Isaac was the only begotten son of his father. Jesus Christ was the only begotten son of his father. Here's Sarah here. Isaac, there was a long interval between the promise and the birth. There was a long interval between the promise given to Adam and Eve to the birth of Christ, 4,000 years. Isaac was born at God's appointed time by a miracle. That Jesus was born at an appointed time by a miracle. Isaac, and this is a really interesting one, took wood up the hill for his own sacrifice. And so Jesus also took wood up the hill for his own sacrifice. And he carried the cross for his own sacrifice. We see that Isaac's father offered Isaac in sacrifice out of love. Out of love. Love for God. And we also see that God offered his son, Jesus Christ, out of love. Offered him in sacrifice out of love. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Isaac was received back by a miracle after the sacrifice. And so also Christ was received back by a miracle, the resurrection, after the sacrifice. Praise the Lord. We see that Isaac's father sought for him a bride. Isaac's father sought for him a bride. And we see that God is seeking a bride in these last days to be married unto Christ, rule with him in the millennium. The bride came to Isaac's father's land. And so also the bride will be caught off the earth and come to Isaac's, Christ's father's land, heaven. Isaac gave gifts to his bride and loved her very dearly. So also Jesus is giving gifts to his bride. Hallelujah. Gifts of the Spirit, gift ministries. And he loves us. Praise the Lord. Many, many types in Isaac. Let's look at Jacob now. Jacob, the son of Isaac. I'm not going to give a whole lot of Jacob. He's a real obvious type of the church in a lot of ways. And we see Jacob, he received the blessing and the inheritance of the firstborn. And that's the thing that started it all off for him. That he got the inheritance by trickery through his mother, and that set him running to his uncle's place over in Haran, up in Mesopotamia. But Christ also received the blessing and inheritance of the firstborn. He received the double portion. And the double portion meant the carrying on of the ministry. It didn't mean twice as much as the father had. It meant twice as much as anybody else had of the sons. And so Christ also received a double portion, twice as much as any of the sons. And the inheritance, he received the inheritance. And it's him, it's through him that we receive the inheritance. Through him we receive the blessing because he was the firstborn. And so we see in the scripture that he is called the firstborn from among the dead. And he is the firstborn of many brethren. We see that Jacob prevailed with God, and so Christ prevailed with God. He cried out with strong crying and tears and was heard in that he feared. Prevailed with God. And of course, Jacob was the father of the 12 sons of Israel, the 12 tribes, and therefore he was the one who begat the 12 tribes, the national Israel. And Christ is the one who has begotten national or spiritual Israel. Christ has begotten spiritual Israel. Let's look at Joseph for a little bit. Now, get them pins ready. Because Joseph is a type of Christ in more than 100 ways. So I'm not going to give them all to you. We'll just get a few. Marvelous type of Christ. Joseph is such a beautiful story. There are so many aspects in the life of Joseph, of Christ, all the way through his life. See, many of these men, as you can see, there's certain aspects that aren't types of Christ. Because they weren't perfect. They weren't Christ. And therefore, everything wouldn't be a type of Christ. If everything they did and said was a type of Christ, they'd be Christ. You know, that's all you'd see. But that's not the case. They made mistakes, they had problems, there were some things that were done out of the will of God, and so forth, et cetera. Man failed. But God did have many types of Christ in them. Now, let's look at Joseph. Now, he, in his life, he was one that more closely followed the Lord all his life, so that in many, many different aspects, he was a type of Christ. In fact, the life of Joseph, if you follow it, is a type of the entire life of Christ, going beginning all the way from his rejection, his ministry, rejection, and his final station in the millennium. In over 100 ways, see, some of these things are also in what he said, in what happened to him, and what others said about him. See, that includes all of those, and many, many wonderful types in his life. We see that Joseph was loved by his father more than all others. He was loved by his father more than the rest. And so also Christ, when he came, was loved by God, his Father, whom I am well pleased, more than all others. There's none other perfect like Christ, who had perfect communion with God. We see also that Joseph was hated by his brothers, and even more so when he revealed what God showed him. And he got dreams from the Lord that he revealed to his brothers, and made them hate him all the more. And so with Jesus, the Jews hated him, and all the much more when he told them what he knew, and that made them hate him all the more. His brethren conspired to kill him, and so also the Jews conspired to kill Christ. And then his brethren cast him into a pit, and so also Christ was cast into Hades after he was killed by his brethren. After the meeting, we see that God made everything that Christ did, or Joseph did, prosper. Where he went, he prospered. And so also Christ. Everything he did prospered. He never failed at all. He said, Father, the work you have given me, I have finished. We see that Joseph was tempted, but he overcame. Christ was tempted, but he overcame. And there, especially, we're looking at the wife of Potiphar. We see that Joseph was falsely accused. Christ was falsely accused. He was accused of many things that were unfair, blasphemy especially, and he did not blaspheme. Joseph was exalted and became ruler of all the land of Egypt. Christ has been exalted, and he will become the ruler over all the earth, all the world, Egypt. Right now, he's ruler over the church. Joseph's brethren bowed down to him. And so also the Jews and all nations will bow to him and confess the name of Jesus Christ, as every knee shall bow. We see that Joseph provided bread for all nations. And so also Christ has provided manna, bread, the truth, his flesh, even, as bread for all nations. My blood is drink indeed, and my flesh is meat indeed. To all famine-stricken nations, every nation, every person in the world is famine-stricken for salvation. Okay, and many, many more. Let's look at Moses now. Moses is also a type of Christ. How? He was born under a hostile power. Don't go worrying while doing out there. He was born under a hostile power. Christ was born under a hostile power. First of all, with Rome ruling, especially, the nation of Israel was under hostile power, even under Herod also. Moses was a shepherd. Christ was a shepherd. Moses was sent to deliver Israel. Christ was sent to deliver Israel. Moses was Israel's judge, leader, and prophet. Christ is Israel's judge, and he will judge them. He leads them. And especially spiritual Israel now, national Israel in the millennium, and he's also our prophet. Christ was a prophet, very definitely. In fact, he's called a prophet in prophecy in Deuteronomy 18. There should be one to rise among you, a prophet among you, and his words you shall hear. You shall hear. You see, that Moses had intimate communion with God like none other. He spoke face to face. Christ had intimate communion with God like none other. With his Father. We see that Moses gave commandments to Israel. And we see that Jesus Christ has given commandments to Israel. He's given us the law. We see that Moses stood in the gap as a mediator for Israel, that to save Israel. And we see also that Jesus Christ stood in the gap, died as our mediator to save us, save Israel. You are the Israel of God. We see that Moses died alone, separate from his people, up on Mount Nebo. And so also Christ died alone, separate from his people, separated. Moses fasted and prayed for 40 days and nights. And so also Christ fasted and prayed for 40 days and 40 nights. Moses partook of Israel's sin, and therefore he died before he reached the promised land. Christ also partook of our sin, and therefore he died before he reached the promised land. He died, and then he was raised, and then he reached the promised land. That is ascension. All right, marvelous types of Christ. Let's look at a few more, real quickly. Aaron. He was a high priest. Christ is a high priest. And therefore, being a high priest, he was a mediator between God and man. Christ was a mediator between God and man. We see that Aaron wore the stones on the breastplate. Christ, and those stones represented the nation of Israel. Christ has worn Israel upon his breast, close to his heart, the breastplate. And therefore, even as they are a show of righteousness, as a breastplate of righteousness is, so Israel is righteous because of Christ wearing them. See, Christ is wearing Israel on the breastplate, showing forth how much he loves them and how he has justified them. Let's look at Joshua for a moment. Joshua has the same name as Jesus. They're one and the same. That's right, they are. They're one and the same. In the Greek for the Old Testament, for Joshua is Jesus. In fact, in the New Testament, Joshua is Jesus and Jesus is Jesus. And whenever you see the name of Joshua, it's Jesus, just like Jesus. Which means Yahweh the Savior. Joshua was the leader in battle. Christ is a leader in battle. He led forth to defeat the devil. And of course, Joshua brought Israel into Canaan's land. Jesus brings us into Canaan's land. It's through him that we receive salvation. Let's look at Job. Job, a type of Christ. He was attacked and tempted by Satan. Tested. Directly, personally. And so also Christ was tempted by Satan personally. Tested. But we see that he retained his integrity. And so also Christ did. And we see that he endured much suffering. And so also Christ endured much suffering. Beautiful type of Christ. And we see many, many others that were types of Christ. The judges were types of Christ. Because they all delivered Israel. And so Jesus was a judge who delivered Israel. Boaz. He was the kinsman redeemer. Remember, he redeemed a land and brought Ruth unto himself. A redeemer. A kinsman redeemer. And redeemer. Just like Jesus Christ has redeemed the Gentiles. Brought them in, the other nations, and brought them into the commonwealth of Israel. Samuel was a prophet who was dedicated to God from his childhood. And Jesus also was a prophet dedicated to God from his childhood. David was a type of Christ in so many, many, many ways. He overcame his enemies, especially, and stood as king of Israel and ruled over the whole world. And so Christ overcame his enemies, stood as king of Israel, and ruled over the whole world. Solomon, another marvelous type of Christ. He reigned in peace, had tremendous riches and wisdom like none other on the earth. And so also Christ reigns in peace in the millennium after the victory has been won, and having great riches, the riches of the whole world, and also wisdom like none other. Elijah, a type of Christ. He proved that Yahweh is God, and so Jesus proved Yahweh is God through his miracles and his power and his ministry. And then Elijah was caught up and left his mantle to another. And so Jesus was caught away into the clouds, and he left his mantle upon his disciples and said, "Tarry in Jerusalem, you be endued with power from on high." The prophets are all types of Christ. And they proclaimed God's heart. They rebuked Israel. They showed forth their sin. They spoke of things to come. And practically all of them suffered a great deal. And so also Christ proclaimed God's heart. He rebuked Israel. He reproved their sin. He spoke of things to come. And he suffered greatly at the hands of his brethren. And then there were the reformers after the exile that came. Ezra, Nehemiah, Zerubbabel. These different ones. They rebuilt the temple of God. And that's the type of Christ who rebuilds the temple of God. In fact, there's a prophecy to that effect. It says he will restore the foundations that have been torn down of David. And restore it. And that's what Zerubbabel did. Building the temple. We call it the Temple of Zerubbabel. They also proclaimed the law. They taught the people and they reproved sin. So also Jesus proclaimed the law. Taught the people. Reproved sin. John the Baptist is a type of Christ. He was called into the desert. So Christ was called into the desert. And he proclaimed the word of God. And he was sent to Israel to reprove them. And so Jesus sent to Israel to reprove them, proclaiming the word of God. Well, obviously, I've just given you a surface of the many, 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 many types of Christ in the Old Testament. Everywhere. It's all over the place. And this is how we learn about Jesus. And what's especially so wonderful about it is that typology, the Holy Spirit can give you personally how those things fit. And that's what's so precious about typology is the way that you can see it unfold to yourself. And it's like jewels that remain hidden for you to find. And there's nothing so precious as God dealing with you personally and showing you something that somebody didn't tell you. But you went in there and found it yourself and saw how it fit. Why are so many men in the Old Testament types of Christ? I think there are two reasons that I'd like to give. There are more, I'm sure. But why are there so many? One reason is, as they yielded to God, these men, in the areas that they yielded to God, they grew into perfection, or more into perfection, I should say, becoming more like Christ. They became more like Christ. Now you see, Christ is the prototype of the perfect man. And all men that aspire to perfection at their very best will be like Christ. Because he's the perfect type. He's what we call the prototype. The prototype, it's also similar to the anti-type. The type is the impression left in the sand, you know. Here's some sand, okay? Here's some sand. Here's the type. We took the perfect image of Christ, we pressed it into the sand, and that's the type that's left. Here's the anti-type. That's the actual person himself. The prototype is the one that is used to stamp and from which all the others are made. You make a thing perfect, and then you put it to the manufacturer and you say, make a million more just like it. Just exactly like it. And therefore, that person that is made is the prototype. In the tape system that we have set up here, we call it the master tape. That's the original tape. And from that master tape, all the others are made. See? So that every tape you listen to is a second copy, and it's right from the master. So the prototype is a little bit different than the anti-type in that the prototype is the one from which all others are made. And so Christ is a prototype. And so at the very best, all others will be like him. So, therefore, as they yielded to God, they became more like Christ, and so their life portrayed Christ. Now, what if Joseph, when his brothers sold him, would have screamed, shouted, cursed, and fought all the way and committed suicide on the way to Egypt? You don't have to make types of Christ in that. You see? There's no type of Christ. If he would have lived in the flesh, he wouldn't have been a type of Christ. You see? If he'd have hated his father and rebelled, he wouldn't have been a type of Christ. In those areas. See? And that would have ruined what he would have done later. So you see, it's as they yielded to God, they became types of Christ. They yielded to God, and they grew more in perfection, and therefore their life became a type. You see that? Now, the scripture states very clearly that they were types and shadows. They were types. And Paul said, even the things that they did were done as types to show us things. See? So God used all those things to typify. So Jesus is all the way through there. Now, there's also another reason. God is seeking to make a perfect man. He wants to make a perfect man, the man child. A perfect man in the likeness and image of Christ. And, of course, Christ is a pattern. He's the one who is worthy. And he is the one that has stood in our place. And, therefore, having this prototype in mind and wanting to make a perfect man, God, without violating man's will, moved them, used them, worked to cause them to become a type of Christ. In other words, had them do things and say things and be places and act certain ways without violating their will. Without violating their will. None of them was perfect, and therefore the Lord had to do some pretty fancy footwork, you know, to get them to fulfill a type of Christ. For instance, a way in which the will was not violated was like the names of Jacob and Esau. Those names are typical. Esau means hairy, and or reddish even. And it speaks of that which is of the earth. Jacob meant deceiver, which is exactly how he got the second portion, the double portion. But his name was changed to Israel, which is a perfect type of the church. That's what we've all been, deceivers. And then when we prevail with God, we become Israel. And so God, without violating man's will, see, what should we name him? I think I'll name him Jacob and Esau. Yeah, Jacob and Esau. He didn't violate their will. See, he didn't violate their will. What should we name this child? No, I'm not sure. Let's see, what should we do, you know? I think I'll name him Samuel. He's dedicated to God. Of course, that's because he was dedicated to God. How about Moses? Drawn out, you know? See, in other words, without violating their will. Remember... Now, God knew ahead of time that Esau would not serve him. And he said, Esau I have hated, Jacob have I loved. And Jacob, he knew out of him would come a people that would serve him. And so God, therefore, worked in certain situations. He allowed Isaac's wife to work it out so that Jacob got the double portion. But he did not violate their will. Do you know that God got you here without violating your will? That's right. He got you here without violating your will. He allowed this to happen and this to happen. You met so-and-so and something happened here, you know, and you're heavily impressed, but it was still up to your choice. You know, there's a lot of people out there that God wants here and he's worked with them and he hasn't violated their will, but they're not here yet. Well, many he's gotten here, see, and without violating their will. You know, God wants people to get saved and without violating their will. He works on them. He can't force them. But he can get them into certain situations that he wants them to be in, and it still won't violate their will, you see. And so that's what he does to us, and that's what he did in the Old Testament, and that's why they're perfect types. He worked it around. Like with the children of Israel. It didn't violate their will to go through the Red Sea. That's a perfect type. Absolutely perfect type. He led Moses too, see. And a lot of other things that God did with Israel in the wilderness. He didn't violate their will, but they were perfect types of Christ all the way through. And of the nation of Israel, the people of God, the church, also. We see in Isaiah 59 verses 15 and 16, this pattern, this marvelous pattern that we have, the Lord Jesus. Truth fails, and he that departs from evil makes himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. That's a type, that's a prophecy. And it's speaking about Christ. Actually, it's a type in a way, but it's also prophetic. We'll see that when we get into the first, very first scripture of prophecy of Christ, how those two go to hand in hand. It applies to the Old Testament, but also reaches forward into the New, reaches into to Christ. His arm is referring to Jesus Christ. And he saw no man, and there was no intercessor. And so what we have is we have God seeking to make a perfect man all through history. And these men, as they would yield to him, he made them into the image of Christ. He's making you into the image of Christ as you yield, isn't he? And he's not violating your will. And so that's what he's doing to those men. And so as they yield, he would form them into the image of Christ to make that perfect man. But none made it. Not one made it. The ones that got closest enough, he took them. Elijah and Enoch. But nobody made it. And so his own arm brought salvation, which was Christ Jesus in perfection, God manifest in the flesh. So that's the perfection of it. So that's why there are so many types of Christ. And of course, I guess you could add on a third reason, is that all of creation consists and holds together in Christ, which is the Word of God, the living Word. Jesus is the living Word. And the living Word and the written Word are the same. They do the same. You know, in a way they are different naturally. But they are the same. The same heart of God. The same truth. And all of creation consists on that Word. It's by the Word of God that the worlds are kept in store, says in 2 Peter, unto fire. It's by that Word that everything contains and maintains until that judgment. Until that final judgment. And all things are burned up after the millennium. Well, I think that's going to be a marvelous time in the millennium when that curse is reversed. So I was just thinking how Christ is maintaining everything, but actually it's all running down. Everything's running down. Everything's all running out. But in the millennium, that curse is going to be reversed. And possibly that's part of it, that there won't be running out anymore. You know, that things won't be running down. I don't know to what extent. We know that the lion sure can be different. He's going to lie down with a lamb. And he's going to eat grass like an ox. And I don't know how the Lord's going to do all that, give him some different type of teeth or something, because now the lion's got teeth that eat flesh, see. And so there's going to have to be some changes made. Well, anyway, so all of history, you look at all of history, all of creation, everything, all pivots on Christ. If you pull Christ out, everything's gone. There's nothing without Jesus Christ. And so then how natural it would be that all of those that serve God all throughout the Bible would be a type of Christ. Because it's in him that everything consists. He's the prototype. If you get like God, you're like Christ. And he's the type. He's the antitype, excuse me. And so everything all hinges to him. And he came at a certain point in history. But time, as far as this creation, all pivots on him. Beginning and end. All of it. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the Word. Praise the Lord. So that's why there's so many types. Not only are there people, but as I brought that forth, you can see now why also places and events and names are also types of Christ. Because it's all giving different aspects of his nature. For instance, Abraham offered Isaac on Mount Moriah, didn't he? Well, that's a type of Christ. That's an action, an event. We're not talking about the person now so much as an event of being sacrificed on Calvary. And by the way, guess where Mount Moriah is? It's probably the same hill as is that Mount Zion. From history, as far as we can tell, when he took him, see, Abraham was just south of where Jerusalem is. And when he took him to Mount Moriah, it's very probable that he took him right up to Mount Zion in Jerusalem. And it's very possible then that where Christ died on the cross may have been the same place or was very close to the place where Isaac was offered in type. We see that Moses led Israel out of Egypt. That's a perfect type, the whole thing of Christ leading. You know, it's an action. It's a whole event that typifies Christ taking us out of the world. Joshua led him into Canaan. Christ leading us into heaven. See, it's an event. David defeating Goliath, Christ defeating Satan, cutting off his headship, taking dominion over him. You're a defeated foe, Satan. How about all the ceremonial laws in the Old Testament, the ceremonial worship? They're all types of Christ. That pattern in the heavenlies that Moses received, the whole thing is typical of Christ. The whole thing. The laws and the sacrifices. For instance, the lamb is a type of Christ. And the goat is a type of Christ in another aspect, as bearing the sin of the world. The oxen is a type of Christ. All the different, the animals were types of Christ. The doves. The oxen speaks of the ministry. Christ as a minister. The doves speak of Christ as a pure one and available to even the poorest of mankind. The shedding of blood, that's a type of Christ. That was in the sacrifice. The burnt offering, that's a type of Christ fully giving himself. The sin offering, a type of Christ as bearing the sin of the world. The peace offering, a type of Christ as being the offering of that sweet-smelling savor to God and rejoicing. All of us, a type of Christ. The offices, they are also. Now we talked about the sacrifices, now the offers. Offices, the king, that's a type of Christ. The priest, that was a type of Christ. The high priest, type of Christ. The prophet, type of Christ. And he fulfilled those. The tabernacle now, also a perfect type of Christ. Everything, the different courts, is typical of Christ in our relationship to him. As you draw near to him, you're outside. You see the righteousness. You see the righteous works of Christ, but you see how humble he is. The brown, kind of gray, really unattractive look of the badger skins, you know. And over the top, you know, I mean, it's not red and white and beautiful. That white outside there, though, you see the righteous works of Christ, but he's humble. And so you come in, you open the door, and you step inside. The first thing you see is a sacrificial altar. Now you're in a closer position with God, and you sacrifice. But then you go through the next door, and then you enter into the holy place, and you begin to see the gold manifested. And you saw the brass outside, but then you begin to see the gold and the light of God and the bread of God. And then you begin to enter into prayer with him, and then it opens up into the Holy of Holies. Intimate communion in that white throne room, a place of love, relationship with the presence of God is exuding forth. Hallelujah. And that's where God wants us all, in that Holy of Holies. Well, that's all type of Christ and how we relate to him. We partake of his, we walk by his light. We partake of his life. It's through his prayer that we can pray. It's through the sacrifice of Christ, those coals on the altar, that our prayers are accepted before God. It's all typical of Christ. That's the courts. But the furniture is also a type of Christ. Christ having the crown, the golden crown. And how many of you haven't taken the tabernacle? Quite a, be sure to take that class. That just opens the scripture wide open. It just gives you a whole new revelation in doing the scripture. You've got to have that class. I won't take too much time with it. The materials themselves, though, even. Everything, right down to the little pin that's stuck in the ground and the little cord. Everything is a type of Christ in the tabernacle. The feast days are typical of Christ and what he did. The Passover and his offering. The Pentecost and giving himself and coming to dwell in us. The tabernacle by the fruit and the ingathering. And, of course, as we heard in the camp meeting, the typical of the rapture and the taking of his people into himself, preparing his people for the end time. It's a prophetic view. Those three feasts is a prophetic view of Christ in history bringing his people into perfection. See? Christ and what he did in history to bring his people into perfection. And it's all typical of Christ, therefore, the work of Christ in history. The days of creation are even typical of Christ. The fourth day of creation, for instance. First of all, let me say that the six days of creation are also typical of the 6 days, the 6,000 years that man has been allotted to him. But we see in the fourth day, the sun was created, and that's Christ's first coming. The sixth day, the man was created, and that's the man-child of perfection. The seventh day was the rest, the time of rest, and that's when Christ rules in the millennium. And see, it's Christ in all of these again, and he's working with mankind. Praise the Lord. So that's all we got covered today. It was about the typology. And I hope that just kind of opened your mind. I hope it just broadened your perspective so that when you get into the Word, open up. Open wide up to see how Jesus is in there. Got all 15 tied together. Starting next week, then, we will begin to go more particularly through the key scriptures, the foundation stones of messianic prophecy. And then after that, we'll launch into the different aspects of Christ as seen in prophecy. And then you'll be able to win the Jews to Christ. Which can now, anyway. Yes, sir. Thank you. talking about it.
I do.
A little bit. But I haven't really signed up.
Would it be yours?
Yeah, well, I'll be home this afternoon. And, I just don't see anything going on. And so what I, that's exactly right. So you've got to know soon so that if I don't, you know, you got to. And so why don't we, how about that? Like, they're going to work from 5 to 7, 4, somewhere around 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock, okay? And then I'll have to talk to Janet, I'll talk to her, and but we can raise that back and forth. And, and I will let him
up.
God bless you.
God bless
you.
Yeah, I do.
Good.
Not that.
Praise the Lord.
You're working too?
Yeah, I'm a manager. If you're
in. Huh?
You don't have a choice.
You don't have a choice.
Yeah.
We need you too.
Huh?
I say we need you too.
Yeah.